This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Almighty God, preserve us from ever thinking that our belief in your word, our faith in you, and our following of your way is anything other than pure gift. You have given us the gift of faith, of belief, of discipleship. Save us from smug belief as if your faith were our achievement. Help us to live our lives in such a way that others will see your love reflected in us and might be brought to sure faith in you and might be blessed by having an undeniable experience of your near presence. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It's Fourth Family Sunday, so I thought we would begin with a little children's fable. You might be familiar with the story attributed over 2,000 years ago to a man called Aesop in a story that is called The Mouse's Counsel. The story goes like this. There are a group of mice who are living in a big house, and they are very, very happy. Except for one thing. Big, fat cat. And not a day goes by when that cat doesn't bother or even eat one of the mice. This is a problem to the mouse community. And so the head mouse puts together all of the mice together and has a council to discuss what they're going to do about the problem of this cat. And many ideas are thrown out, and finally, in the chaotic ensuance that is going on, there is the youngest mouse who raises his hand and gets everybody's attention and says, "I have the solution. All we need to do is just put a bell around the neck of that cat, and therefore, whenever the cat is approaching, we will hear the bell, and we can run for cover, and everybody will be fine." And with that revelation, the place is up for grabs. They're shouting and they're screaming. They're applauding. They are so pleased with this wonderful idea now that they have that will take care of the cat situation. Well, if you know the story, you know what comes next. The applause dies down, and suddenly the wisest and oldest mouse raises his hand and stands up and says, "Well, I have just one little question to ask you. Who's going to bell the cat?" We can have great ideas. We can start out with great commitment. We can start out with great priorities. But when push comes to shove, the metaphorical question becomes, who's going to bell the cat? This is precisely what's going on in the gospel today. We are finally reaching the end of this bread of life discourse. And if you didn't have enough of it, somehow it got printed twice in the bulletin this week. But this is it. This is the last Sunday for it. So it's very appropriate what John is dealing with today. He's dealing with the disciples' response to the call of Jesus. How we live out our commitment. And as we see in the gospel today, there are some that see it's too difficult and they walk away. Sounds like there are a lot of them that walked away. It's important for us to realize that. John wants the message to be there for us to understand that nobody said this was going to be easy. You know, it's real easy when we are making a commitment and we're in love and we are committed to a new job or career or whatever. We make a commitment that we're going to do something, but then the time always comes where it's, "Oh my gosh, this is harder than I thought it was going to be." And we have that choice that we need to make. Are we going to continue or are we going to fall by the wayside? John Bunyan, back in the 1600s, wrote a famous book called Pilgrim's Progress. And in that book, he's talking about Christians on a journey. And he talks specifically about characters named Christian a character named Hopeful and a third character named Temporary. Now you can probably guess which of the three aren't going to make it on the discipleship journey. And Christian and Hopeful end up talking about Temporary, who started out on the pilgrimage path but fell by the wayside. And the word that John Bunyan uses is backslider. And we know that to this day. It is a derogatory term that is used in our vocabulary. We call somebody a backslider. But it has its origins in Christianity in this work by John Bunyan of trying to follow along the path of discipleship, but then something comes up and it's difficult and we get distracted and we choose something else and we fall by the wayside. We backslide. It's important for us to realize this is a possibility and a difficulty. But one of the reasons I think why John has this in here at this part of his gospel with this bread of life conclusion is to help us to remember, now why are we doing this every week? Why are we coming back here to the Eucharist every week? Because it's that way that we recall who we are and whose we are, and we recall our priorities. You know, we make decisions based on our priorities. And this is one of the ways where we come back every week and we remember, we recall and recommit to what our priorities are in our life. So it becomes important for us to be able to answer the question, well, what are my priorities? Think back in the last day, the last week, the last month, the last year, maybe even go further back with significant decisions that you've made in your life. What were the priorities that drove that decision? Because when we understand the priorities that drive our decisions, we understand truly who we really are. Someone wisely once said, "The choices we make determine the lives we lead." Put it in priority terminology, the priorities we make define who I am. So what are those priorities? Well, hopefully we can look back and we say, well, God is number one. No matter what, God drives the decisions. If we got a family, hopefully family is number two. And then everything else falls in line after that. It is not always easy. You know, Mark Twain, one of his greatest lines that I ever read that he wrote, he says, people say that the things that bother them about the Bible are the things that they don't understand. He says, well, for me, the things that really bother me about the Bible are the things I do understand. Because he knew it wasn't always going to be easy. I'm sure it's coincidence, but that line when we talk in the Bible today about the people who walked away, that's John 6:6:6. It is difficult. But there is a joy and a peace. There are all those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we can continue to receive even in the midst of very difficult times when we know our priorities are straight and we're living out that way. Let me tell you a story that I think really brings that out. There was a man back in the 1920s by the name of Bill Havens. And he aspired, his priority was to dedicate his life to physical conditioning because he wanted to be an Olympic medalist. He wanted to compete, and his sport was rowing, the four-man canoe race. And he made the team. And he was all set to go to the Olympics, but at the same time, his wife was expecting their first child. And in those days, you could not get on a plane and be back home when your wife went into labor. He'd have to take a steamship across the ocean. So he had to decide. Either he goes to the Olympics and he misses the birth of his first child, or he forsakes all of his training and misses that opportunity but stays with his wife. And in his writings, he says, well, it was a no-brainer. I knew my priorities. My priority was my family. And so he forsook all of that training, and lo and behold, what happens? His wife did not go into labor when expected. The team ended up winning the medal, But in the time sequence of things, he could have actually, in retrospect, gone to the Olympics, got on the steamship, and come home and been there for the birth of his child. And all these people are saying to him after the fact, well, what a shame that was. Boy, did you make the wrong decision? And he'd say, oh, no. And there was a peace and a joy in the way that he said it, in that I knew my priorities. And I have no regrets. Now, if that's not enough to make a statement about priorities, listen to what the sequel is to that. His wife does give birth to a son when he is there. His name is Frank. Frank grows up, and 28 years later, decides along the way that he, as a priority in his own personal life, wants to compete in the Olympics. And guess what his sport is? Rowing. He makes the Olympic team. And in 1952, at the Helsinki Olympics, he sends a telegram back to his father and saying, I'm coming home and I'm carrying with me to give to you the gold medal that you made it possible for me to win. Incredible story, isn't it? Priorities are so important. We need to be clear. We need to continue to look each and every day when we examine ourselves at the end of the day, when we make each individual decision, because there's a joy and there's a peace and there are all these other things that are promised to us, that eternal life that he promises to us now throughout this discourse, if we are willing to continue to put first things first and to continue to follow the way where Jesus has led the way. May it be so for us. Amen.